Now, rosacea is an inflammatory disorder that's characterized by facial redness, broken vessels, and sometimes acne, and is more common than you may think. But what exactly is it, and what causes it? Well, to tell us more, I'm joined by dermatologist Professor Rodney Sinclair. Welcome to the program, Professor.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful that you were with us. Now, I guess the first place to start is, can you just explain what is rosacea?
Well, it's an inflammatory condition of the face. It often looks like acne, but the people who get it are in the wrong age group to get acne. They're not teenagers. And so it tends to affect women in their 30s and men often in their 40s and 50s. And it can cause easy blushing. It can cause some facial swelling, some dryness or grittiness in the eyes. You can get pimples. And occasionally you can also get some swelling of the tissue on the nose. So you can get this big bulbous nose as a complication of rosacea. So that fortunately only affects about 5% of people who get rosacea. Mm. But it's pretty intrusive when it occurs. It's pretty unwelcome.
Professor, you say that it affects people, you know, women in their 30s, men in their 40s and 50s. So what causes it? It doesn't start, you know, you're not born with it necessarily?
No, I think it's fair to say we don't fully understand what causes it, but there does seem to be an involvement by a mite that normally lives on the skin in low numbers. And under certain circumstances, when it proliferates, it sets up an immune response or an inflammatory response. And the rosacea seems to be the consequence of that inflammation. So that mite's called the Demodex, and it's a tiny little insect. And it's quite normal for everyone to have these things living in the hair follicles on the skin of your face. Mm. And they normally don't do any harm. People wouldn't know that they're there. But when they proliferate, when they multiply, then that causes a problem. And the thing that they seem to like is a hot, moist environment. So people who are getting very hot in bed, overheating, that seems to create a nice environment for the Demodex mites to multiply. And that certainly seems to be one of the factors in triggering rosacea. There's a few other factors as well. It seems to be more common in people of Western European origin, people with fair skin, particularly the Celts. It seems to also occur in people who've got a bit of sun damage on their face that seems to cause what we call solar elastosis. So if they've got some elastic fiber damage in their face, they also seem to be factors. But the main one seems to be the Demodex mite.
Right. And so, you know, you speak about the extreme versions of what it might look and feel like. But, you know, is the average rosacea sufferer not going to kind of feel anything necessarily bumpy or painful on their face?
Well, there's different types. And so there's what we call the papulopustular one that looks just like acne. There's a version that's just confined to around the mouth or around the eyes, which we call perioral dermatitis. And that's one that's often made worse by using strong steroid creams on the face. But there's also a type called erythrotelangiectatic. So that means red with broken capillaries. And people just get these red cheeks, and they might just get that in association with the easy blushing, and they might not get the pimples or the bumps.
Sure. So there are obviously different levels of severity with what we're talking about.
Not necessarily severity, in that they don't necessarily progress from one to the other. They're different types. So some people just get the redness, some people just get the lumps and bumps, and some people just get the swelling of the nose, what we call rhinophyma, where they get this bulbous nose.
Yeah.
So they don't always get all the features. And in fact, some people end up at the eye doctor because they just get the eye symptoms of rosacea.
Oh.
So different people end up with different manifestations of the rosacea, and that affects where they go, which doctor they go to.
Professor, you said that, you know, it can affect people sleeping in bed that get hot and sweaty. Does that mean then that if you're sleeping with a partner that it could be possibly contagious?
No, I don't think so. I don't think these mites jump. I think they stay on your skin. And so it's just the environment that it creates. So the risk of sleeping with a partner is it often increases the temperature in the bed. And if you've got a very hot partner that can really raise the temperature quite high. And what we invariably have is we have two people sleeping in the same bed who often have different temperatures, different desires for how many blankets they want. But there's usually a compromise required because you've got to keep both people happy. And sometimes you find that if you've got one partner who's cold and they've got extra blankets on the bed, it's the other partner who might get the rosacea because they're overheating with the extra blankets in the doona.
Sure. I'm speaking with Professor Rodney Sinclair all about rosacea. He's a dermatologist on ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania. Professor, what treatments are available and can it be prevented?
So the treatments available tend to be mainly centred around antibiotics. And the antibiotics work very well. And there's some antibiotic creams that we can use. There's one called Rosex gel, which is a topical metronidazole, but there's a whole range of other antibiotic tablets that also work. Now, whether they work through a direct effect on bacteria is doubtful. They seem to probably have an effect on the mite. And we say this because one of the creams that works very well is one called ivermectin. And ivermectin is a cream. You can also get it as a tablet, but it's mainly used as a cream in rosacea. And that seems to specifically target the Demodex mite and reduce the concentration of those mites. Now, in terms of prevention of the rosacea, then what we generally find is if you manage to not sleep, not get too hot in bed at night, that seems to be a factor. I think people often have the same doona on their bed all year round, summer and winter, in which case in summer it's going to be too hot under that doona because it won't release the heat. So it's often worthwhile having different bed coverings for different times of the year. Certainly when people had blankets on their bed, the number of blankets they had on their bed would vary with the seasons. But now that doonas are almost universal, many people have the same doona on their bed all year round.
Yeah.
In terms of other treatments for rosacea, so depending on what they've got, if people have just got the redness, there's also lasers that are very effective at getting rid of the broken capillaries. And also if you've got the swelling on the nose or elsewhere on the face, then you can also use lasers to smooth that out as well.
So and there's I'm just interested to know, this all sounds amazing, obviously, and people that suffer from it will be so interested to hear all of this. But are there any herbal or alternative remedies that go along with these more medicinal ones?
We did do a clinical trial at one stage looking at a topical cannabis derivative to see whether that would help. And unfortunately, the results were quite disappointing.
Yeah.
People have looked at other antiseptics. People have looked at tea tree oil, because that's got some antiseptic properties. And again, that wasn't spectacularly effective. The diet implications are particularly important for the people who get a lot of flushing. So the people who flush or blush easily, sometimes that can be aggravated by hot temperature drinks. It can be aggravated by coffee itself, but I think it's more to do with the temperature at which you drink it. Also, some people find that they're very sensitive to hot rooms. So if they walk into a room with an open fire, they feel themselves flushing. So again, managing the control. I don't think that there was a time that we used to talk about hot spicy foods as being triggers for the flushing and the blushing, but I think that's not as important as we probably thought it was 10 or 15 years ago. But apart from that, I'm not aware of any other dietary manipulations that can help.
Sure. And if you do manage to get it under control, you know, and you're going really well and it disappears, can it be something that returns later on?
Well, what we find is that after an initial bout of rosacea that's adequately treated, about 50% of people remain clear in the long term. And about 50% of people, it just keeps coming back and it becomes a chronic condition. And so half the people are managed very simply, often just with a short course of treatment, whether it's one of the antibiotic creams or even the ivermectin cream or even a course of antibiotic tablets. But the other half of the people, it does seem to be a recurring problem. And for those people, there does also seem to be some issues with a skin barrier function. And so sometimes for them, what also becomes important is using a restorative moisturiser that can help restore the skin barrier and make their skin a little bit more resistant to relapse.
Fantastic. Hey, Professor Rodney Sinclair, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. That's been so helpful and so much information. I know everyone will be loving you sharing that with us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
That's Professor Rodney Sinclair there, dermatologist, speaking all about rosacea.